What is good, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Talking Hoops with Kev Luke, man. Back at it again today, Thursday, February 29th, the last day of the month, headed into my favorite time of the year. Glad to be back with you guys today. I have a special, special guest on today. He'll introduce himself in a minute, but as always, I hope all you guys are doing great out there. Hope all you guys staying safe out there, enjoying yourselves. And yeah, man, just keep going. That's all I can say. But today, we're going to talk some Michigan State basketball. It's been long awaited, long overdue. And I got my very, very special guest, goes by the name of Tyler Bennett, straight from Lansing. Tyler, please introduce yourself to the people, man.
Yeah, man. Thanks, Kev. Tyler Bennett, lifelong Spartan fan, born and raised here in Lansing, now live in East Lansing. Yeah, you can find me on Twitter at iBennett. You know, I have some takes on there here and there. Obviously, I'm an avid MSU basketball enthusiast. I go to, I'd say, 80% of the home games. I go to a lot of the, you know, the preseason tournament games. I'm hopefully maybe if we're back in Indianapolis for the first weekend, because, yes, we are going to make the tournament. Facts. Hopefully be there and, yeah, and showing my support. And so, yeah, thank you.
Yes, sir. So, I got to ask, I know this wasn't on topic, but I just got to ask real quick. What is it actually like being in the Breslin Center when it's loud and raucous, like the way that it is on TV? Because you can feel it, but I can't even imagine actually being there.
Yeah, so I'll go back to the Rutgers game this year. And I've been in the Breslin, millions of times, obviously. And when Steven Izzo got that and one, at the end of the game, I want to say that's probably the loudest I've heard the Breslin. It's just nuts. I mean, especially when you got the Izzone rocking. I mean, there's years where the Izzone's better than, you know, other years. I think they've been really good this year. I know you've heard it probably in a lot of Coach Izzo's pressers. I mean, he's been very pleased with the Izzone. But yeah, it's like no other, man. It gets loud. Like, that home court advantage at the Breslin is real. I mean, even when you hear about it from opposing players that have played at the Breslin, Breslin's always one of the top one to two, you know, venues that they go to that they like playing at because of how loud it is. The atmosphere is great and how tough it is to actually go in there and win. I know you say that now. We just dropped two games in a row at home, but we'll get into that, I'm sure. But, yeah, there's nothing like the Breslin when it's rocking.
That's crazy. I can't wait to get out there. Eventually I will go experience it for myself, but – I mean, let's get right into it, man. Y'all know we don't like to play no games. So right now, as you just mentioned, we just dropped back-to-back home games versus Iowa, versus Ohio State, which hurt. That end of that game hurt. We all know. But it's been a long season, right? It feels like this season has been 5 years in one, right? But right now we're currently 17-11, 13-4 at home, 3-5 away, and 9-8 in conference play with the road trip to Mackey Arena on Saturday. So that'll be tomorrow for those of y'all that listen to this. But what would you say has gone wrong with this MSU team?
Man, I guess we can start. This isn't what I think is really going wrong, but we could just start from day one. I mean, that's from the summer, end of the summer, Jackson Kohler having a foot injury. You know, the infamous MSU preseason foot injury, comes upon us. So that's just for starters. Now, do I think that, you know, he's the answer to all our wishes and prayers? No, I don't think that. But what I was gathering from, you know, there's a local broadcaster by the name of Jack Ebling, who's a Hall of Famer. I listen to his podcast, The Drive with Jack, every day. He has followed Michigan State basketball since the 60s, I believe. So he said during summer, he thought that Jackson Kohler was the second best player on this roster based off what he was seeing. Kind of goes and coincides with how Jackson looked at the Moneyball Pro-Am. And I get it, it's the Moneyball, but usually the Moneyball is, you know, that's a guards, you know, league, if anything. But Jackson lit it up. He played well. I mean, obviously there's no defense or anything, but I mean, he shot it well. So I really think the foot injury hurt him. I don't know if he would have started day one. I think he probably would have been starting by now. So that's just one thing. But bigger picture is just the inconsistencies. I mean, this team has just been so inconsistent. I think we were waiting, from last year. I mean, you saw what AJ did. I mean, he was all regional team in the NCAA tournament. you thought coming into this year, I mean, especially with the preseason noise he was making, he, you know, he felt slighted, and you know, you thought you were going to get that AJ consistently, and you just haven't. And I think you've said it, I've said it a lot. I mean, a lot of, you know, diehards have said it. I mean, he's the straw that, you know, stirs us. When he's going, you look at us against Illinois. I mean, he's going. I mean, we're tough. We are tough. So there was that. That's our head of the snake hasn't been, you know, consistent. And the point guard position is the most important position at Michigan State. Always has, always will be.
Mm-hmm.
Under Tom Izzo. So there's that. You know, you look at a guy like Jaden Akins, you thought that, you know, the huge jump was coming. You look at what he's done so far. He's averaged one more point a game than he did last year. You know, you thought you were going to see some more flashes with him with the ball, and he's had opportunities with the ball this year. I don't think he's been great, you know, making plays. I think he struggles at the rim a little bit still. So, yeah, and then probably the number one, you know, everybody knows of is just, the center spot. It just hasn't been great. I don't know if we have a legit starting Big Ten center on this roster, because even Jackson Kohler, if fully healthy, say he never has the injury, you know, the guy's maybe 6'8", maybe. You see him standing next to Malik Hall. They're about the same height. Like, that's not a starting center. And then you combine that with his lack of athleticism. It's just tough. And then, you know, you just don't have a low post presence down low. Defensively, I think we're okay down there. But offensively, we're just not. We're not there. And, you know, I thought Jackson Kohler would have came along a little bit more, but I think the injury hurt him. And it's time to go small ball.
Man, that's probably been my biggest thing, is that even when we go back to last year, right, the lineup that really won us that game versus Marquette was, of course, AJ, Tyson, Jaden, Malik, and Joey. And it's not necessarily a knock on Mahdi, but or Jackson for that matter, but he was a freshman last year, or excuse me, Carson either. They were freshmen last year. But with Mahdi, like, if we're just being honest, he never really played his freshman year, never really played his sophomore year. Last year he had to play because he was the only big with experience on the roster. And he was solid. Of course, he gave us the games versus Gonzaga in Kentucky. And, yeah, he played better towards the end of the season, which we expect from all of our players. But, again, as you mentioned, when you don't have a low post threat, especially in the Big Ten of all conferences, it's like that's a major Achilles heel. And it forces our top four guys between AJ, Tyson, Jaden, and Malik to be good to damn near great every single game. If two of those guys at the minimum aren't having really good games, we're not going to stay in the game, right? Like, we need at least two of them. And so it's like it forced a lot of pressure on those guys. And to me, AJ is not really the guy that you want him to carry you. But as you mentioned, when he is on that type of time, we've seen him go toe-to-toe with the top point guards in the country. Jalen Pickett last year, Tyler Kolek last year, Marquise Noel. He's capable, and that's why it's frustrating, because you know he can do it. But at the same time, you don't necessarily want him to again carry the load offensively, but you want him to just get going and make other guys' lives easier and better. But when you don't have that outlet in the post, I mean, everybody's searching for tough shots. Even Tyson, who's been amazing, I know he's dealing with the groin injury, but he's undersized. One, he's an undersized shooting guard. He finishes through a lot of contact. His game, he's supremely skilled and talented, but a lot of the buckets that Tyson gets are tough, hard-earned buckets. And it's tough to watch him struggle these past few games. But again, I'm not going to kill him because of the injuries, but it's just it's been a lot with this team so far. But if we would just say these last three games, right? Again, Mackey Arena on Saturday, we host Northwestern for senior night, and then we go to Bloomington to face IU at Assembly Hall. What do you think are the biggest things that can be fixed with this roster to round out the season in these last three games?
I hate saying it, but I mean, it starts with the rotations.
Mm-hmm.
I can't help but think, like, you know, I mean, everybody knows it, and Izzo wasn't very happy about it in yesterday's presser, but I mean, it's Booker playing more, you know, we can't have our offense is better. He needs to start thinking offensively. You know, his reasoning for playing Mahdi down the stretch was he mentioned defending ball screens, and it was just like, I mean, I rewatched the second half. There wasn't a ton of – they weren't putting us in a ton of ball screens. We're like Mahdi – like, you know what I mean? And I know Booker struggles mm-hmm. with ball – I've seen it. Booker isn't great on ball screens right now, but Booker's able to do things on this roster that no other center can, even though Booker's like a stretch four center, I guess, whatever. But I mean, he gets his hands on balls that Carson can't get to, or Mahdi. You know, there's just plays he makes that those guys can't. And that's defensively. And then offensively, obviously, he's just leaps and bounds our best option. He opens up things for Tyson. Now Tyson isn't having to, you know, take these tough contested twos. He's able to maybe get to the rim. Same with AJ. I think AJ benefits the most with Booker on the floor.
Yep.
That's first and foremost. I think he's got to play 20 plus minutes going forward. I know the matchup with, you know, Purdue looming on Saturday night isn't great, but make it hard for Edie to go defend him on the perimeter. You know what I mean? Whatever. I think we've seen in the past, last two or three matchups, give Edie his 35 and 15 and go give them hell on the opposite side. Because I like our matchups. I like our matchups every other position, to be honest with you.
Rotations
have to be better. There cannot be any more minutes for Mahdi and Carson playing combined, especially when you got – and then he'll have, like, Cohen Carr at the three. Right now, Cohen is not a three. Now, I do think he will be a three. I do. You give him a summer working on his handle, working on his jump shot. He is a three. He's a 6'7" three, and I love him for that. And he'll be able to play some small ball four too, obviously. But right now on this team, he is a four, and he needs to be matched up. And I want to see more minutes with him and Book together. Rotations have to be – they just have to be better, and it gives us a better chance to win. I mean, I think Mahdi and Carson, like, this Saturday, they're going to get minutes, obviously, you know, but I think the majority of the minutes at the center position need to go – that has to go to Book.
Yeah, I agree, man. And that's the thing that kills me, too, with this year is that historically we've seen Izzo really experiment early in the season, and then he'll trim the lineups down and figure out what's working, what didn't work, and then we'll just take off. But I feel like this year he didn't really do that. And especially with Cohen, like Cohen, it feels like every time Cohen's in the game, he's impacting it somewhere. Yeah, I understand, you know, he makes freshman mistakes. They all do. Everybody has, right? You know, sometimes he gets caught staring too much off the ball. Sometimes his closeouts are kind of lazy or whatever, off balance. I get it. But again, you got, as a freshman, you have to let those dudes play through that to gain some confidence and gain rhythm and understand what they got to do better. And we've seen in the game in Ann Arbor, Cohen has some big time moments, some big time plays. And I thought he really impacted the game on both ends of the floor. And so with that too, going back to the front court, and I want to preface this by saying, I don't want people to think that we're just shredding the front court. They've got enough flack against them. Yeah. Right. But another thing too, is they've struggled to rebound. Like historically, we know we've had bigs, not even just bigs, like threes and fours that get down there and secure rebounds. And when you can't do that on top of your already like a I think we're a good defensive team. But again, to close out defensive possessions, you got to be able to rebound. And that's one thing that's kind of killed me, too. But we'll see how it works. I mean, I agree with you, though, at Purdue, I love the matchups like AJ on Braden, Tyson and Fletcher, you know, Malik and Trey Kaufman, Ren, whoever. Mm-hmm. So
I rewatched a lot of last year's game at Purdue where it got away from us. But we played pretty solid the first 10, 12 minutes of the game. There was times where they had Fletcher Lawyer on Malik. And I'm just going to say this right now. If that happens Saturday night, we need and in general, I don't think we do a good enough job of getting Malik the rock. I mean, the Ohio State game is a perfect example. I mean, Malik had 9 shot attempts. Cannot happen, especially when nobody's hitting. He needs to be more emphasis, especially, I mean, in the half court, because he is your half court low post game. He is. Yep. I mean, that's just, it is what it is. And he makes things happen down there. Either he's getting fouled or he's getting to his little midi fadeaway and, you know, he's making things happen. I do think a lot of this is like, some of it's fixable. Like, you know, these issues in the half court are fixable. We need to play with more pace. You can play with pace in the half court. It's not just, it's not just in fast breaks. Obviously we want to get out and run and get in transition, but that also comes back to rebounding too. So if you're not doing a great job rebounding, you're not really able to get in transition a whole lot, but pace of the half court is essential. I mean, you look at the Ohio State game and it just feels like we're swinging the ball around. The next thing you know, there's 8 seconds left in the shot clock. And it's like, all right, AJ goes high ball screen or give it to Tyson, and Tyson just tries to go and make magic. And it's just like, how about we swing, get it to Malik early or set something up for AJ at the block. I think me and you have talked about before. We love when AJ has it down there on the block. And I think he has, you know, on Saturday night, I think that should be something because I don't think the lawyer or Braden can mess with him down low. I don't. This team has versatility. I just don't think they're showing it enough.
100% agree. And I'm so glad that you hit on that AJ point too, because I talked about this with DK early in the season. Post AJ up, right? Instead of putting AJ in a whole bunch of different positions where he has to make a play, like you said, from the top of the three-pointer or on the wing, whatever the case may be, post him up. He is a big body. He is a mismatch. It's a reason when we play against the top wings, whether it's AJ Store, Terrence Shannon, Cam Christie, AJ is guarding them for a reason because he's a physical, big, brute force. That's
going back to Jaden Ivey a couple years ago. I mean, AJ did a hell of a job against Jaden Ivey. So, yeah, no, couldn't agree more.
And that's what I want to see is it just make his life easier. He already does a lot. Like, when I go back to that Illinois game, for instance, when we played them in Champaign, I know a lot of people were kind of disgusted that he put up a lot of shots, but that's kind of what I wanted at that point in time, especially because I think Tyson got, like, banged up for a second. He left the game. I'm not necessarily saying he has to take – I think he took, like, 19 shots, something like that, maybe 20 shots. I'm not even saying he has to take that many, but put him in a position to where he can make reads on the floor closer to the rim. Like, stop trying to make him figure it out, especially because I thought eventually he would get that mid-range jumper down, but he just – I feel like he takes it in the wrong scenarios too.
He does. It's definitely taken a step back from last year too, I think. Man, I forget the stat I saw, but his mid-range right now, it's pretty bad. It's real bad. Unless it's his floater or something at the rim, like, it's bad. I think there was a point where he was, like, two of his last 20 outside of floating, and like, it was bad. And at the end of the day, I mean, basketball's simple. Your best players have to play, right? Mm-hmm. You said it earlier, like, you can't have two out of your four core. It's got to be three. It has to be three. And I know Tyson's dealing with the groin injury, but, bro, he's missing some open threes. I went back and looked. He is 9 of 26 from three in his last six games. So, and I mean, look at the open ones he missed against Ohio State. A couple of them that probably would have sealed the deal late in the second half. Mm. It's a make or miss sport at the end of the day too. Like you've got four guys when they're rolling. It's like, damn, watch out. This team can beat anybody. And we've showed it. I mean, what we did to Baylor, and I know that was back in December, and I don't think Baylor particularly played a good game, but it wouldn't have mattered if they did. That's how good we were that day. Mm-hmm. So, you get a lot of the fan base that's really down on us, and, you know, I guess deservedly so, but I tend to look back at just some of the high moments of like the high level basketball that we've played, and I hang on to those. Knowing that, you know, the last 4 years, though they haven't been what they want, you know, what we want as Michigan State fans, and that's not the standard finishing, you know, sixth in the Big Ten. But if you go back, those four teams after Cassius left have all been playing their best basketball in March every year. Yep. You go back. I know we lost, you know, in that COVID where no fans were there, and Aaron Henry misses a box out against UCLA. We had that game. UCLA goes to the Final Four. You know what I mean? The next year, we beat Davidson. We go toe-to-toe with Duke. We're up five late in the game. You know, we kind of had a little bit of control of that game. Paolo Banchero kind of happens. We lose, but we were playing our best basketball. Last year, playing our best basketball. I mean, going into overtime with Kansas State, arguably the best game in the tournament, you know, of the year. And, you know, right there to probably be favored to go to a Final Four if we get past them, you know? I mean, Noel had a game. You know, Ishmael Massoud was hitting, you know, shots from the logo. It is what it is. But, we've been playing our best basketball in the tournament the last 4 years, regardless of how it looks right now. I do expect that to happen again. And I like our chances against a lot of teams when we're playing like that.
And, again, I'm so glad that you said that, because that's been my saving grace, right? Because people always talk – or now, since these past two games, people are talking about – Izzo's got to get it together, obviously, rightfully so, but Izzo is washed, he's old, we've heard all the stuff, right? But especially with that is the main saving grace, that we've played our best basketball in March. We went toe-to-toe with Paolo Banchero. We were right there in overtime versus Kansas State last year. We beat a tough Marquette team that's clear swept the Big East last year. And so when I see that, it frustrates me, because it's literally the little marginal things. And so I got to ask you about, I'd be remiss not to ask you about the portal stuff. because that's always going to be a major thing. And again, you look around the country, all the top teams have some type of major transfer portal addition. Cam Spencer left Rutgers. He's at UConn killing right now. LJ Cryer left Baylor. He's at Houston dominating. Dalton Knecht has been insane for Tennessee this year, right? Yeah. So, again, people make it seem like Izzo hates it, but I always say even the guys that we missed on, obviously we got Tyson and Joey from there. It wasn't necessarily the same it is now to a certain extent and prevalent as it is now. But even the guys we missed on between Michael Parrish, who was in the national championship game last year, and Jalen Bridges, who I think is the most important player for Baylor, it shows me that they know how to identify talent. They're just not reeling it in. Yeah. And so how do you feel about Izzo, I guess, lack of not wanting to use the transfer portal?
Yeah, so I think this is a misconception too. I agree with you. It's not like Tom doesn't use it. There is just – stipulate, and this is just how Tom is. There's stipulations in order to, you know, get a portal guy. I mean, the rumor was Micah Parrish demanded more minutes, you know, and wanted more minutes and wanted a big role, and we just wouldn't give him that. So do I think Tom needs to maybe broaden, you know, his outlook on it a little bit and maybe accept, like, this is the new era and, you know, you need guys, you got to have five guys that are starting caliber players, especially in the Big Ten. Mm-hmm. And if you don't have that at one spot, it's a killer. And, you know, I think we've seen it in, you know, over the last couple of years without, you know, having a real legit big man. With that being said, you know, I do expect Tom to go back into the portal, but it's got to make sense for him. You know, he's not going to go take a guy who might have some attitude issues or personality issues. Like, it has to be the right fit. You know, Joey was the right fit. We recruited him out of high school. We had that relationship already. Tyson, given, you know, he was out East Coast kid, but, you know, Tom did, you know, everything on the back end to learn about him and find out about him and talk to his coach at Northeastern. And the fit was right. We needed another guard. I do expect him to use it. He's never going to build a roster around the portal. Especially with the way we're recruiting right now, it's just not going to happen. And I typically like it that way too. I like the way he did it. I think he could be more aggressive. I definitely think he could be more aggressive, but I love the way he does it. You know, you're reeling in these top 10 classes, you're developing them, you know, you got the family atmosphere, you got, you know, the chemistry is good. And, you know, you're building from the high school ranks. And I don't know, as a fan, you kind of just latch onto that. And I know it's not the new day and age is, you know, you got to just make your team better whenever you can. And Tom, he's probably dropped the ball on that a couple times. You know, he's probably had an opportunity to go nab up a center and just hasn't went after it. And, you know, it's probably bit us. Maybe not. You never know what could have happened. Did we beat Kansas State last year? If we have a dominating big or a big that can, you know, give you 10-7 on any nightly basis, maybe not. I don't know. I guess you never know. But like, I think going forward, he's going to dabble more. But it'll never be Kansas State of last year and what Jerome Tang has done. You know what I mean? It'll just never be that. And I don't want it like that, to be honest with you.
I agree, and I think his philosophy is on point, but again, the reason he's made it this far, 20, however many years, 25, whatever, is because he's adjusted and adapted. And I think this current landscape of college athletics as a whole is something very new for all of us, right? It's something we've never seen before, including himself. And so I think it's going to be a great hurdle for him to leap over, but I don't think it's a gigantic hurdle, right? No. It's just about willing to, again, like you said, just go in and piece your roster together. Any holes that you see from your current guys, fix it. Figure out what's missing, what you need. And that was my thing too, right? I want to get your thoughts on this because we all talk about the front court. Obviously so. Nothing wrong with that. But at the same time, we haven't had a real wing, it feels like, since Max Christie. And I know that's only been 2 years, so I don't want to make it seem like it's super drastic. But I do think, as I already mentioned, AJ Storr, just in the Big Ten, AJ Storr, mm-hmm. right? Illinois has Marcus DeMass, Terrence Shannon, amongst others. I could keep going, right? It's wings everywhere that are important. I wish we can just get a 6'6 to 6'8 guy that could put the ball on the floor, score from all three levels, and defend. If he can just give me that, that's all I need. I don't need him to average double digits necessarily, but just be solid. Like, you know, a Michael Parrish, I guess, or Jalen Bridges, whatever.
Yeah.
So tell me what you think about that.
Yeah, it's tough because we're playing the small three guard lineup. I mean, let's face it, we all know it. Jaden's not a wing. So it's tough. It's like, yeah, we need to get back to that. And I think Cohen Carr is that. I do. I truly believe he could be a wing, a three in college basketball. Shooting mechanics are there. I do expect him to take a jump up next year with his shooting and the way he can put it on the deck. So we need to get back to that because I think rebounding it's hurt. You know, Jaden is 6'3". You know, and yes, he's athletic, but there's just so much more. I mean, he's probably 6'3", what, 190? There's just a difference between him and a Dalton Knecht, you know, the guy that's 6'6", 215, and go up there and go grab rebounds and, you know, and just do more than what, you know, Jaden is able to do. So, yes, very important. But I'll say this, like, Jaden comes back next year. I don't see us grabbing a wing. I don't. I've heard – I don't know if it was DK or not, but it's, you know, nabbing a wing and a center in the portal. I just don't see us grabbing a wing at all if Jaden comes back. You got Jaden, you got Trey, you got Jeremy, you got Cohen Carr, you got Kurtang. Jace Richardson probably will carve out a little bit of a role. And I'm just naming the guards right now, not wings. Yep. Like, that's a lot of guards / Garrett Norman. Like, you really going to go bring in a wing, a veteran wing? I don't see it. Maybe I'm wrong. I don't see us bringing in a wing. And now if Jaden leaves, yeah, maybe you bring in a wing to back up Cohen. I don't know. It's going to be an interesting offseason. I hate talking about the offseason because we're still here and I still think this team can make a run. I truly do. But, you know, you got to keep it moving. Obviously, the future matters. And so, yeah. But, yeah, that's my thoughts on the wing. It sucks Jaden's not 6'6". Then again, he probably wouldn't be here right now. Maybe he probably would have got drafted last year. Maybe. So we'll see. It's going to be interesting. He's got a decision to make. You know, I do see him coming back though.
I agree. And my only thing to that though is that, I mean, they are recruiting Bryson Tucker, right? I don't know if they're going to get him. Like he's an NBA player, no doubt about it in my mind, right? So. I mean, we're competing with Kansas and I believe the G League.
Yeah,
so
it's G League.
It's like, is that. But going into what you just said, the last question before we get out of here, what do you think of the future of the program? Because like you just said, I'll just say real quick, with Jeremy Fears at the helm, I truly believe he can lead us to a national championship. When he fully gets acclimated to college basketball, and again, I hate that he had the incident this year, set him back. But when he fully gets acclimated college basketball, I firmly believe Jeremy Fears is the point guard to lead us to a national title. It's all about just filling in the right piece. And again, you have some of those pieces already on the roster between Cohen, between Xavier, between Jackson, right? So you have a solid nucleus. It's just about piecing it together like we just talked about. So what do you think of the future of our program as it stands right now?
Futures, and I mean, talent-wise, recruiting-wise, you got to love it. It's the name. It's Jeremy Fears, right? A shame what happened over Christmas break. Dude's coming off of his best game probably of the year. Had 10 assists, one turnover. You know, this dude would have put more pressure on AJ, I think, throughout the year. And I can only imagine where Jeremy Fears would be right now. 100% he's playing. I don't see how he wouldn't be playing 15 minutes a game right now. I think it would have leveled up AJ's game. I really do. It's just a shame. I'm glad that the recovery's gone great. By all accounts, he's going to have a full spring and he's going to get after the summer. He's a gym rat. So with him at the helm, I sleep very well at night. Very, very well. I've said it to a lot of my friends in the group chat when he was a junior, when he committed early and, you know, we offered him super early. So I've been following him since damn near sophomore year. This kid, man, it's just a winner. He's got that Mateen vibe to him. He's a better athlete than what people think. He's just grimy on the court, man, and we need to get back to that. And him and Trey next year, just, you know, get back to that, you know, that suffocating perimeter defense, which I still want to see more of this year. Yeah. So with that being said, with the way we're recruiting, the guys we're going to have probably coming back next year, I've always said this freshman class of this year was one of my favorites. They're all going to be sophomores next year. That's a problem. I love Garrett Norman. He's going to be putting on weight. Mm-hmm. He's got an edge to him. I think people, you know, they're going to get to know Garrett Norman next year a little bit. I'm not saying he's going to start or anything, because he won't, but he's going to be a role player, and the guy can do more than just shoot threes. So that said, yes, Izzo's, you know, recruiting at a high level. I love some of the targets that we're looking at for 25, you know, Jerry Easter. I want Trey McKinney. I don't know if that's going to happen, but I mean, I've heard some good things. I know he grew up a Michigan fan, but from what I've heard, that's not going to play a role into anything. Interesting, but we're not really, you know, we need a big, you know, Jesse McCullough coming in next year is not a bit. I mean, he's 6'9", but he's more of a stretch. He's got to put on weight, which he will. I'll be interested to see. He may be red shirts. I don't know. So yeah, future looks good. We're recruiting at a high level. Tom is, you know, he's on the trail harder than he's ever been. You know, I've heard, you know, discussions of, you know, this guy doesn't care. No, Rico Beard. I don't know if you know who that is, but he's a local radio guy. He's saying Tom doesn't care. He doesn't have that fire anymore. I don't know what he's talking about. It's crazy to think. Malik Hall and Carson Cooper were on the Spiral show last night, and yeah, they pretty much downplayed all that. Like, no, this dude still has all the fire in him burning still. I mean, let's face it, Tom wants number two, okay? Yeah. I still think it's going to happen. He's still got a lot of years left. Future looks good, but Tom needs to embrace the portal a little bit more. I think that's the only hurdle, like you said. I think if he embraces the portal a little bit more, yeah, I think we'll be fine. I mean, NIL's there. I mean, you know, the tradition's there. The guys are going to be there next year. I mean, yeah. No, I like where the future's at, but he does need to embrace the portal a little bit more.
Yeah, man. And last one real quick. With these last three games, what would you say would make you firmly comfortable? Because I do think we're going to make the tournament. For some reason, even though the numbers are what they are, like, they favor us heavily. I don't know why, but
analytics love us.
Yeah.
For the first time in forever.
Yeah. I guess it's because our non-conference really helps us out. But I've been saying we need to go 2-1 in these last three games. Obviously, winning at Purdue is a tough task. Not impossible, but tough task. I just want to see them fight in that game. Just give me a fight, bro. Don't fold. Just give me a fight. That's all I ask. Yep. And then, of course, you know, Boo Booey, we all know, has been a Spartan killer. He comes into town.
They're playing well right now, too. They're just kind of plugging and playing without Ty Berry. Martinelli's been balling for them. So that's not going to be easy on senior day, but it's senior day. And last time, Tyson, Malik, and, AJ will be there to play. And I think they beat us four in a row now or something. We got to get Boo Booey out of there. So we got to take care of business at home. And if you're coming off an L after Purdue, like, that's the most must win of the year.
Yeah.
I see us going, 2-1. I think most prognosticators have us at like a 9 seed right now. So we'll see. We go 2-1. Maybe we go get a couple in the Big Ten tournament. Maybe we get a rematch at like a Wisconsin or something, because I wouldn't mind that right now the way that they're playing. Mm-hmm. If we go get two wins in the Big Ten tournament, maybe we sneak to a 7 seed or something. And, I'll take that. Let's get it, because I'll play a mid-major team that's won 25 games in the first game of the tournament. Fine. And then give me another 2 seed, okay? Give me let's run it back, Marquette, I guess. You know what I mean? Or, I wouldn't mind seeing Arizona again. Like,
hell yeah. That's my thing, too. It's just, if you get in the tournament, you have a chance.
It's different now. Like, seeding has never meant less than it has now. Like, back in the day, like, man, if you were an 8 seed, man, you were done after that second game pretty much. Yep. Nowadays, man, with the portal and everything, and like, no, man, like, a 7, like, us as a 7 seed is going to be a problem. I can promise you that.
It's the lucky number. 2015, that's what it was. So, simple as that, man. But, man, I appreciate you so much. This was a great conversation. Can't wait for people to hear this. We definitely have to do it again.
Sir.
Please plug your Twitter one more time for the people out there to go follow you.
Yeah, at iBennett. Yeah, holler at me. Follow me. I'll follow back. Big Spartan guy. Let's get it. 3 games in a row. Let's go fight, like you said, Saturday night. make some shots. And I, you know, I think it can be a game. I really do. I know it's been 10 years, but hey, streaks are meant to be broken, right? So
facts.
Yeah, let's get it, man. Go green.
Yes, sir, man. Again, that's Tyler Bennett. As always, it's been another episode of Talking Hoops with Kev Luke. Please like, comment, subscribe, rate, review, and share, and all those other great things. I appreciate y'all for tapping in. Y'all stay easy out there. Stay blessed. Enjoy your March, and I will talk to you guys soon. Peace.